found this in Gunnerum. Gunnermir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Guy Davis. We have two special guests tonight, James Kerwin and Her Royal Majesty Kipley Brown.
Well done.
And I was given permission to say that beforehand, so I'm not being cheeky on purpose or accidentally. Well,
no, I was totally jokingly asking to be referred to as royalty, but the fact that you did it, the power is going to my head already.
Already. So you are now the head person of this podcast. So what did you want to talk with us tonight about, Kipley?
What do you mean you are now? You guys don't know her very well.
We gave her royal power, so she's got a executive command now.
Right.
Very well, we shall talk only about kittens.
Are we gonna be
I like kittens.
And chocolate.
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 What kind of chocolate?
Gotcha.
Chocolate kittens.
I like the wings.
Who needs Easter bunnies when you can have chocolate kittens?
Exactly.
Yeah, they should make chocolate kittens, you know? But then again, the idea of eating a kitten is not a great one. But so is not eating a bunny, but people actually do that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I really had a problem even as a kid eating chocolate bunnies. Whew. I didn't know what to do with them. I was like, as soon as you eat the ears off, they're like, you can't hear us anymore.
Makes them easier to eat.
This is taking a turn, man.
Indeed. In case you
just went dark quick.
In case those listeners are not familiar with their names right off the bat, Kipley Brown was in an episode of Enterprise, The Forgotten, and she's also Smith in several of the Star Trek Continues episodes. She's also been in Are You Our Genesis? And Yesterday Was a Lie? James Kerwin has written and directed Yesterday Was a Lie, Are You Our Genesis, a couple of Star Trek Continues episodes.
What's the common denominator?
I don't know.
You realize how often we work together, James. How did that come about?
Damn it.
It stinks when you have to work together all the time, right?
It's cool to find someone who, like, loves the same kind of stuff you do and that you can collaborate with. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Guy, it is pretty awesome.
It is, even if we're, like, all the way across the nation.
Yeah, Denver and Buffalo.
Denver and Buffalo. And are you guys calling in from the other coast, too?
We are calling from the West Coast.
Which means that we are, this is like the America-wide podcast again. Because we've got the East Coast dead smack in the center, and then the West Coast all in one call.
What is this Skype technology that you speak of?
It's very similar to that Star Trek stuff where they would speak on video, but they didn't have the bandwidth problems that we would have if we were talking on video.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that never happened in Star Trek ever? They never had bandwidth problems.
It was always like interference. Interference from a nebula. Yeah.
Well, the interference was one thing. It was another, it would be another thing to have Skype calling you back in the middle of, you're trying to talk to the Romulans and you're like trying to negotiate a treaty and the call drops and Skype's calling you back and it says, trying to get the call and it's doing the whoop, 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 whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop. Romulan would be, what would it be?
Well, stay tuned for episode 8. Let's give away spoiler.
Uh-oh. So how did you guys start working together?
Well, we were friends first for a short while, and then, we're still friends, but what I meant was, we were
never
friends.
Again.
Friends for a short
never
while,
again.
And then it stopped. Stopped.
And over enemies. Now. Yeah. No. But James wrote this incredible movie, and he said, come and audition for it. And I did. And he claims that I earned the part, completely on my own, and I would like to think so, but I got the part.
And that was Yesterday Was a Lie, which, if your listeners don't know, it's a really interesting kind of cult sci-fi noir feature film that came out at the end of 2009. And then it came out on DVD in early 2010, and it's around, and you can get it. And it's a fun. It's a story that really makes you think. It's fun, but it's also very, very heady. So if you like heady science fiction or very moody atmospheric science fiction,
heady, not heady as in like dry and dull. It's a mystery, it puts the nature of life and reality and even what is love and the human, like the longing of the human heart. And it puts it in the context of this really beautiful mystery of the classic noir era style. And I've never seen a film quite like it, much less obviously been in one like that. But, you know, despite the fact that I have a vested interest in people watching it, there are other things I've made that I've been like, don't watch it. But this one, I'm very proud of it. I think James should be very proud of it. And I wish more people had seen it.
I unfortunately haven't seen it. I've heard other podcasts that have had Chase Masterson on where she's mentioned it. And I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And I've gone through, like, you know, Hulu and Netflix and Amazon. I was just trying to find it somewhere where I could stream it. And I unfortunately haven't found it.
You can get it on Netflix, but it's a disc, you know. It was streaming for a while, and then it stopped, and...
Yeah, well, Netflix has dropped a lot of features from their streaming service, and that's a whole other discussion. But you can get it on Amazon, and you can get the disc, or I believe it's still streaming on Amazon Prime. You can definitely get it on iTunes.
Ooh, I'll have to try that.
So
my Apple TV.
If you want to order the DVD, or if you want to stream it, you can get it on iTunes.
Yeah,
and it actually looks really good on iTunes because it's HD. It's better quality than DVD. But it's, you know, like I said, it was a really interesting project to make, and like Kipley said, it's got a lot of, I think, I hope, entertaining elements to it, but it also really makes you think.
Yeah, it's powerful too. It's got, you know, the intrigue, but it also has the heart, you know. And because it's an unusual film, because it's not, you know, trains exploding and lots of you know, half nude women running around, it didn't get as much.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to play it down, but yeah, but it's like it's not everyone's cup of tea initially when they, you know, see, and it's in black and white, and a lot of people are like, well, why do I want to watch black and white?
Same reason you watch Pulp Fiction or other Quentin Tarantino movies. I don't know.
Thank you, and it got a lot of like grand jury awards and things, and that, like, you know, it's been recognized in many ways. It's just I wish, and I'm hoping that it will gain a life, you know, as we keep talking about it and spreads and people will see it and just be able to appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely something that's been on my radar tangentially since I've heard, you know, other people talk about it, but I just haven't gotten to see it yet. And I'll definitely make a point of it now that I know it's on iTunes and I can watch it on my Apple TV. Yeah.
There you go. See? Aren't you glad you had us on?
Yeah.
World peace on its way.
Yes, looking forward to that.
Everyone's used to be a world would be a more beautiful place.
Yeah, go check it out on iTunes, guys. This is great. I'm sure it's a fantastic work. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I mean, the lead actress is, you know, kind of a bitch, but and marginal and questionably talented, not so sure. But if you can look past that, it's great.
Yeah, sure. No, that works.
But she's a queen.
Yeah, she's royalty.
Royal.
Yeah. Sort of moving to the royalty to the diva stage here, you know, kind of the royal diva,
like the rock star.
It's like a synergy going on. It's a synergy. Yeah.
Where is my freshly squeezed pomegranate juice? Damn it!
We got you only the green M&Ms. That's it.
Green M&Ms.
Just green M&Ms.
So you got her the M&Ms that are represented by a woman.
Oh, the green one is supposed to be that makes you horny too, isn't it?
Yeah, she's like all like,
wasn't that weird? That was like
the sexy M&M.
Yeah, they made her a sexy M&M, like with like, I don't know how you make an M&M sexy, but they did it, and I have dreams about that.
And
she always, I'm not even gay.
And she always tries to get the men M&Ms eaten. I don't know what that's about. Is that a metaphor?
Well,
I think that
being a man eater, she just
they're secretly what, black widows or something like that.
Yeah, the only female M&M is like an evil plotting killer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Pretty crazy.
Paging Dr. Freud.
And now on Synthaholics, we will dissect the way that the M&M commercials all went.
Yeah, how did we get on this?
Next on, we have the dominating era of feminism and the postmodern reaction to the M&M female. A dissertation.
Only on Synthaholics.
Yes, we specialize in rabbit holing into special different things. But
really?
I don't know. It's
That was sarcastic.
I don't know.
I think he's listened to our podcast there, David.
Yeah, he said he did when he emailed me, so I think he knows what he was getting himself into.
That's good.
So hopefully
that's
it's good. A good thing. So where did your journey go after this Yesterday Was a Lie?
Well, after Yesterday Was a Lie was released, kind of thought about what to do next, and I talked about it with Chase as well. And there's a project that I had been kind of bouncing around in the back of my mind for several years, which was an adaptation of Karel Čapek's Czechoslovakian play from 1919-1920 called RUR, which is a science fiction stage play, as rare as that is. And it's never been turned into a feature film before because it's a very difficult play to do. It's very much a product of its time, and it's very dated. But in other ways, it's very forward-looking. So I've been fascinated with the play since college when I had to study it in a lit class, and I always wanted to turn it into a feature. So we've been developing it into a feature screenplay for the last few years. But in the meantime, we shot a short, what you would call a sizzle reel, kind of a short film in the style that we would do the feature. And the short film is called RUR Genesis. And that is a project that came out a couple of years ago that Kipley is in, as well as Chase Masterson from Yesterday Was Lie, and Vic Mignogna, our Kirk from Star Trek Continues. So we did that film. It's available online for free for anybody to watch. It was a lot of fun to make. It's got a really interesting kind of 60s Barbarella vibe combined with questions about the nature of human consciousness and the nature of human rights and what is a human, you know, because that's what the original story dealt with. And that's what the feature, knock on wood, is going to deal with. So we worked on that for a little while.
That is a fantastic piece. I will be linking that in the show notes. So everyone, please watch this. This is very awesome. 6 minutes of your time.
Yeah, I really love that piece. It had some, the color was awesome, but it also had, you managed to capture whatever is that essence from the 60s movies.
I love the retro futurism. I love the way it looks and the way, and just the way it sounds. I just love it.
And that, but you said retro future, because that's kind of what James intended, because when, you know, Čapek wrote it, set 50 years in his future, which was 1969. So
that makes sense.
Most plays who have done it set it in their current future, so that we would have like silver clothing and flying cars. A lot of people like to set it in the era in which it was written, almost like Metropolis. But I thought it was a great idea to set it in what Čapek, in, like, you know, he could not have possibly pictured what the 60s would look like. But yeah, that's what's fun. It's the retro future, almost in the same style as Star Trek in terms of that.
Yeah,
retro-futuristic thing.
I love that.
Sorry.
How is that going, like, working on the feature film? Are you going to try and, you know, bring back the same cast if you can, or...?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that the short film was really, it's not really like, people say, what's going on? How is this related to RUR? It's not really a scene from the feature screenplay. It's just a little piece done in the style.
It's a proof of the concept as well.
Right.
And you know, like you said, the interesting thing about RUR is that when he wrote it in 1919, he set it 50 years in the future. And the interesting thing about the play is that, like I said, there's things about it that are far behind where we are now technologically, and then there's things that are way ahead of where we are now. And
I was going to say, in his play, he mentions a mobile phone.
Yeah, I mean, there's amazing things that he did predict about the future, and then there's things that he got completely wrong. So kind of splitting the difference between when he wrote it and now, and setting it in 1969, exactly, you know, between when it was written and today, seemed like a good choice, because you could set it in like the 60s version of the future, what they thought the future would be like in the 60s, much like Star Trek, the original series, mm-hmm. where there's certain things that they got right, and then there's certain things that they kind of got wrong. Because it's very difficult to predict. And so when we did that, we kind of created that. The other thing about the 60s is that it was a period of time that was very similar to what the time that Čapek was writing about. There was all sorts of social upheaval. There was a hope for the future while there was fear of mutually assured destruction at the same time in war. And all those kind of themes that came to a head, particularly in the late 60s, are very, very in RUR. So that's why setting it in that kind of that period was very appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, the word robot came from that play.
That's awesome.
We would not have that word if it were not for RUR, because it, in the Czech language, its name meant Rossum's universal robots, and robots in the Czech means worker or laborer, you could say a slave, depending on the context. And there was no English translation, because it was a very popular play, and there was no English translation that could keep the initials RUR. So they just kept the word, and they kind of anglicized it and turned Robotnik into robot. And Čapek was not thrilled later on, because he wrote about the workers in his – it's about an artificial race of people who are workers and sort of their struggle. And it's also a political allegory for what went on during his time. But they're organic. They're grown. Their body parts are grown in factories. There's a vat that mixes their livers and a weaving mill that makes their veins and arteries. And then they're slapped together to make this artificial person. And their rights come into question. And when they started to do this, like in England, it was such a popular play. It was also the Industrial Revolution. So they took a little artistic liberty and made them mechanical people, because that was more exciting to them, because it was the dawn of all of this mechanization. Yeah, exactly. and that became so popular that other people did the same thing, and robot just sort of became commonplace in the English language, meaning mechanical person. But that's really not what he intended.
But, you know, but that's actually kind of how we use robots. Robots are slaves. They build our cars, you know, the Boston Technology or whatever. They build those, like, weird horse things that they push over and abuse. And it's just like, wow. And they're going to be. It is cool, but it's like,
it's
loud, I love.
Though. You're not going to sneak up on anyone. That's like a diesel engine.
You know,
now we know why Terminator occurred.
Yeah.
Because you just watch them kicking those robots over and they're just chalking it up.
Yeah.
You know, they're going back to the break room and like putting it up on the board. That's it. One more time, that jerk knocked me over. I swear.
You know that I just heard this. I can't verify if it's true, but I heard that sort of the internet system that in China is called, wait for it, Skynet. And I don't know if that is deliberate or not, or if it's just coincidental, but it's common, guys.
I bet they're big fans of Terminator.
Yeah, probably. Actually, that's one of the conventions that I work on. They've got, you know, the internal network is called Skynet, and it is definitely a callback to that specific thing. So it was very much an intentional statement. Although it does make me worry if, you know, there's going to be
China's,
like a Terminator.
China's going to destroy us, just like in Fallout, the video game series, where China nuked America and America nuked China.
I thought you were going to say that Fallout destroyed us, because I was like, well, that probably happened too.
Oh, no, it's just the games. Yeah. It's just, you know, China destroying us. They're making Skynet. They're the architects behind Terminator now.
You know, right. I looked it up because I did not want to be proliferating inaccurate information.
Misinformation, like I did with your birthday.
Exactly. It says it's the Operation Skynet is sort of an electronic web they weave to catch corrupt officials.
Ooh.
But when it becomes sentient, it may have other ideas.
It'll catch everyone.
Everyone will be corrupt. Its notion of corrupt will broaden to the point, kind of like Nomad.
Yeah, yes, Nomad
does not compute.
You're perfect. That's it.
Yeah, it's not
I was made by imperfect.
It's not perfect.
It does not make sense. Calculating. Hopefully, Your Highness, Miss Brown will be saved from the annihilation that Skynet rots upon us.
I don't know if any of us are going to be saved.
Come up with it and be its majesty.
Queen. Yeah, yes, the queen. Yeah,
maybe like Queen Borg.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll be the Borg Queen. You're going to be like, you're going to have the wiggling spine and everything, and it's and they're going to
oh my gosh, that's actually, I've never thought of her like that, but that's exact, oh, that's a very apt.
Right, I do have a wiggling spine.
She's got the wiggling spine, yeah, and it's totally the Borg Queen. Oh my gosh.
I know you're trying to insult me, James, but
I'm
like it.
I'm not insulting you. I'm kidding.
I don't mind it. I'll get to kiss Data. There you go.
There you go. That's
No. They didn't just
fair.
They didn't just kiss. She's like, when's the last time he did it? And it's like he mentions the time he did it with Tasha, and she's like, and then they cut away. Like, they did it.
Yeah, and then
you know they did.
Trying to figure out what to say about that, deciding to just not.
There are so many possibilities. You see a Jeffrey's tube and like a what would you
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I go to Jeffrey's tube after this discussion and its line of discussion. Hey.
It's a yeoman's tube. Be quiet.
Yeah, in the Jeffrey's tube, I could show you a room.
Yeah, see? It just sounds like it's gonna, yeah, well, there you go. Infinite diversity and infinite combinations.
That's what we talk about. So
that's what we talk about.
On RUR Genesis, is that where you kind of met Vic, or had you known Vic before, James?
Well, I knew Vic kind of peripherally as friends through Chase Masterson because, you know, before he started Star Trek Continues, he was primarily known as an anime voiceover actor. There's a lot of crossover in fandom between anime and science fiction. And so he did a lot of conventions with Chase and I when we were promoting Yesterday Was a Lie. And so I knew him kind of peripherally. And when it came time to do RUR Genesis and we were looking to cast that role, I was thinking, who could we get? And I thought of Vic, and I just thought, he'd be great for that. So Chase and I gave him a call and said, hey, you know, again, I didn't know him particularly well then, but I said, hey, would you do us a favor and do this role in this little short film? And he said, absolutely. And he
But
was
to great. Answer the question that you actually asked me, James, yes, I can meet him on RUR. That's payback for the Borg Queen stuff.
Wait, what?
That question was directed towards Her Highness.
Oh, were you asking Kipley when she met Vic?
I don't mean to make you feel bad, James, but I'm glad I did. And that's how the Borg Queen operates. Bam!
Well, let's hear from them. Were you asking Kipley when she met Vic, or were you asking me?
I plead the fifth.
You're right. Which will get us least, you know, in least hot water?
I believe what they said was... And you said how you met.
But they didn't say it. They didn't specify. There was no antecedent. There was no. They did not give a proper name before they asked the question.
Proper name was given after, and I did say
I
a name.
You up after this,
oh, you did?
I did say a name.
All right. And, what did you say?
I said James. I'm sorry.
Oh!
I'm sorry, Your Highness.
I did. Back, it sounds like, because you refer to James. In the third person, you said something like, well, did you meet him on the set of RUR, or did James know him earlier? Like, when you said, did James?
Oh, okay. We got to go to the... We got to... Okay.
Instant replay.
We're going to the instant replay.
So...
That's what we talk about.
On RUR Genesis, is that where you kind of met Vic, or had you known Vic before, James? I did word that question very strangely. Vic, then comma, James, question mark, is kind of how it would have been. And it's very oddly, it's probably very bad grammar. I
now
apologize.
Now that you spent so much time on it, I sound like a persnickety little bitch for even bringing it. I was trying to be funny.
That's why I was trying to play the fifth. I was trying to go like the funny route.
You know,
and
it's just
like, you know. But, you know, if
okay, first of all, wait, guys, this is a Star Trek podcast. You don't plead the fifth, you plead the seventh. Remember? No, all seriously.
Right. I'm sorry.
The seventh guarantee. Yep. You plead the seventh.
The seventh rule of acquisition.
No, the seventh guarantee.
The seventh guarantee.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember? From the Drumhead? Come on, guys.
Yep. Seventh guarantee. Yep. Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen the Drumhead.
I am totally on board with you, James. I'm right there with you.
I plead the seventh.
He pleads the seventh.
I apologize. Anyway, man, I've been shown up on my show.
Kipley, let me ask you, when did you first meet Vic?
On the set of RUR.
Oh, there you go.
See?
And now everything
See how
is
fascinating
safe.
My story was?
And everything,
it is.
Yeah.
come it's to so a close. Pathetic. Like the build up, the build up for that is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think I have not done myself any good here.
No, your Highness, you are
amazing. I'm living up to the diva name.
Your Highness, you are amazing. I'm so glad you're coming along with James tonight. I was thrilled when he said, "Hey, can Kipley come along too?" I'm like, that would be awesome.
Thank you. That makes me all right then.
So
I won't assimilate you guys after all.
But let me tell you guys an interesting story about Kipley and I doing RUR with Vic. It was when we were doing RUR that Vic started making or had just finished making Pilgrim of Eternity. And I think he had just finished shooting Leilani, the second episode of Star Trek Continues. And he said, "Hey, look, James, I like the way you're directing this short film. And would you be interested in maybe doing a fan film with me that I'm working on?" And my initial reaction, to be really honest, was I don't really know that much about Star Trek fan films. It's, I don't know. They're fan films. And then he showed me episode one, Pilgrim. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is the original series. This is a perfect clone of the original series. But it's its own thing at the same time, telling new stories of the original series, mm-hmm. throwing you back in time to 1969. And I said, absolutely, I'm on board. So that, because of RUR Genesis, that's how I got involved with Star Trek Continues.
And by extension, me as well.
Actively as well, yeah.
That's amazing. And before we get into Star Trek Continues fully, how was it, Kipley, working on Enterprise with Connor Trinneer?
As Jane Taylor.
Oh, it was amazing. And I mean, he couldn't have been nicer. Just so nice. I mean, everyone was so nice, because you walk onto a set where everyone knows each other and they've got their system and you're just the guest star for the day or the co-star, whatever. I was nervous too, because I was already an enormous Trek fan. And so there was the added
pressure.
Yeah. And excitement to actually be able to become part of the canon, even in a small way. And on top of that, LeVar Burton was directing.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's right.
And that was another and see, they don't want you to, when you audition, you're not supposed to tell them that you're a mega fan, because they've had cases where things have disappeared from sets and this and that.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So you got to go in as an actress. You got to be played it cool. Like, what is
this? I'm not a fan. I don't know anything about the star thing.
What's a star? Is this like a Wars?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, guy. We were like on a same wavelength.
I don't even know what star is, much less a Trek. Put them together. I'm double confused for Blonde.
What?
Especially.
Right.
Yeah, so the second time I walked into the audition, they didn't tell me the director was going to be there. So I was walking in like, what's Star Trek? I don't know. I'm just a really cool actress. And I walk in and I almost wet myself. And yeah, but it was amazing. And he was great, too. I mean, he was so nice. Everyone was so nice. I know everyone always says, everyone's so nice because no one wants to speak bad. But it's true. They were all just so awesome. And even now, like when I say Connor Trinneer at conventions, he's like, comes out, he's like, hi. And I'm like, I reminded myself to him once, like, remember that? And he's like, yeah, we had a good time. That's a really great scene. It was a good emotional scene.
It was a fantastic scene. I hadn't seen it in a long time. I actually rewatched The Forgotten last night to kind of catch myself up. And I was like, wow. Like, I've said this to Guy and on a couple other, other episodes of Star Trek. But now that I'm getting older and, like, watching this stuff now, like, stuff is hitting me, like, in the feels, like, way more than it ever did when I was, like, a teenager, kid. And, like, that was just a really powerful scene. And props to you and props to Connor.
Thank you. It's not a very big part, but the character had a big impact.
Yeah.
And that's nice. And, even if it's technically by the most strict Star Trek nerd fandom rules, and I include myself as one of that adheres to that, I still think of myself as the only red shirt to speak after death.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
That's awesome.
I have a red stripe, although I'm not security, as James likes to point out. Usually, the original red shirts were security, and yeah. Right. But I am a bit player who gets killed.
Your death isn't even on screen; it's only referred to several times.
I'm like a pink shirt, so I don't even get the red. So
you don't even get the plant to stick you in the neck with a poison dart. You were just dead in the background. It's like,
I don't even get, you don't even see my dead body, really. I mean, it's just smoke and it's, no. it, Yeah, so I didn't even get a really poignant death scene. But to come back as a vision or a ghost or a dream or whatever you interpret it as, I'd like to think that Jane Taylor's speaking on behalf of all the forgotten red shirts.
I thought you did see your body. Didn't Malcolm Reed have her body in his quarters?
Well,
no,
he
refers
to my body.
Whoa.
Malcolm just does things because he's creepy.
Malcolm,
and,
it's Malcolm,
and part of Section
man,
31.
Know?
He was probably trying to revive her with some like serum that he got from his Section 31 guys. He's like, it's not working.
This could be like
Are
the
you
mountain thing
it's
from.
Be occurring, you guys?
Yeah, when Enterprise comes, back in 2026.
Right, but when they make the Enterprise movie, they'll respect Jane Taylor.
They'll have
They're
a flashback to when you die.
Zombie Taylor, and that's the problem, is, you know.
They,
now we've got the zombie Taylor that we have to deal with. Ah, oh, man.
Yeah, there were zombie Vulcans in Enterprise.
Zombie
why can't there be a zombie Taylor?
Borg. Well, Borg zombie. Whoa.
Borg zombie Taylor. Queen of the Borg.
That's how she becomes queen of the Borg.
That's how the Borg queen happened. They ejected her body into space in one of those photon torpedo tubes. She was assimilated by the Borg.
Right.
Became the Borg queen. Boom.
There you
but
go.
The zombie part. I guess
she was bitten by a mosquito in space.
But she doesn't eat brains. Or at least she doesn't indicate that. So
that's true.
You never see a Borg actually eat. You know, they could do things behind closed doors. Like, you know, we do things behind closed doors. I mean, you know, things happen.
Yeah, I mean, nobody really knows what
public,
is it that
loud
Borg
and proud.
Eats. Now we're wondering. Maybe they eat green M&Ms.
They eat nutritional supplements.
Yeah.
with number designations.
With number designations.
Oh, 79 again. Ugh.
It tastes like dog food.
Beeline supplement number 64. Yeah.
So, Are You or Genesis brought you both to Star Trek Continues?
Yes.
So now we transition. That was smooth, man. That was smooth. Well done.
You're trying to control the classroom. I appreciate that. The substitute teacher trying his hardest.
Yeah, well,
I did grant her emergency powers like Palpatine at the beginning of the episode, so...
Okay, so Star Trek Continues. Okay, so you were brought aboard Star Trek Continues.
Because of R.U. and Genesis and Vic Mignogna.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We'd already made this kind of connection and the Borg Queen, and we had green M&Ms, and now we're at Star Trek Continues. So tell us about your work on Star Trek Continues.
Real quick, I just want to say Borg M&M, and I'm going to stop there. Okay, go on.
Borg M&M, yes. It needs to happen.
I wanted that as a coda. Okay, so where are we? That was my ADD kicking in.
No, we're good. This would be me drawing a Borg M&M right now. I'm just going to draw it right now. Okay, go ahead.
So that's how we got involved. And I don't know. I just wasn't sure. I wanted to be able to put it on my reel at least, which is such a schmactery thing to say. And I wasn't sure, you know, like, well, it depends on not that it's a good plot. And then I saw Pilgrim of Eternity and I was like, sign me up for yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Absolutely.
And then you started on Fairest of Them All, which was that Mira episode.
Yeah.
Mira episode was fun.
That's right.
Written by James.
Directed by James.
It was
you and Vic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How fun was that, like mirroring James that the end scene of the original Mira?
It was a lot of work, actually. I mean, screen capping every single shot from that last scene and matching the lighting, matching the backgrounds, matching. I mean, if you actually watch the original scene, there's things in the background that don't quite line up, that wouldn't really be there. Matching all of that, including the quote unquote mistakes, was a huge, huge job. It took us a long time to shoot that scene. Matt Busey, our director of photography, had the whole thing on his iPad, and we would go through and we would like break it down and we would look at this shot and we would say, oh, this light's got to be a little bit closer and we got to open up the barn doors here. And then we color timed it in post to make it match exactly. It's a lot of work.
So that was your least favorite part of the episode.
I wouldn't say it was my least favorite, but it was just a lot of work. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the least creative because you're just aping somebody else's directing, but it was extremely challenging.
Painstaking.
So it was
to
fun
get it.
In its own way. You know?
But it was perfect. It just looked amazing. I love the side-by-side comparison that you guys have up in there. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work. You guys did good work. Good
and,
work.
Thank you. Today I rewatched The White Iris, and I love, like, you James, you wrote and directed that episode. So did you, like, you were trying to get Smith to show up Sulu with, like,
did you write that?
Smith to show up Sulu?
Yeah. Because she's like, and oh, yeah, that drag coefficient on that torpedo, or every time you change the course. And Sulu's like, what? Drag coefficient? What? Like, he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, it wasn't her showing it up. I co-wrote the episode with Vic and Chris White, mm-hmm. Who was our first AD at the time and co-producer. But it wasn't so much Smith showing Sulu up. It was Smith. It was Smith assuming that a drag coefficient was a normal thing to be going on and not bothering to mention it to Sulu. But then as soon as she brings it to Sulu's attention, he's like, wait a minute, that shouldn't be going on. Something else is happening here. And that's how they figure out the dry plasma being vented.
I thought he was
she wasn't showing him up.
I felt like, I don't know, just the way it looked. I could maybe just watch it. I wasn't watching it that closely.
It was a bad director, though. It was a terrible director.
Well, I know why you would say showing him up, because not in a snotty way, but in a like, yep, it's nothing I can't handle, you know, like, because that was in the line. It's like, nothing I can't handle, you know, because I imagine women at the helm and at nav and on the bridge it wasn't common in the original series at all.
Well, except for, you know, we lost number one. She was up there, and then they had to, you know, they did the stupid thing, cut the woman of the Vulcan whenever they went on to film the second pilot. It's like, no!
Yeah, so, you know, I imagine that Smith does feel like I play her. Like, she does have something to prove, you know, like, make sure that she's got her ducks in a row, because they're going to be watching to see how someone can take, you know, how a woman who's not traditionally in that place can handle it. So, you know, so that the confidence, I liked that she's confident, you know, not snotty or, like, aggressive or defensive, just like, oh, yeah, I thought of this, you know, it's nothing I can't handle.
Oh, yeah, that's how it came up to me, that she was, like, you know, like definitely super smart and, like, thinking of things that Sulu, like, wasn't thinking of. That's how it struck me. And I was like,
yeah, and I like that.
I like that, too. I thought that was really cool. Sulu would be like, what? What are you talking about?
I should have been like, snap. You've been schooled, Sulu.
You have been schooled.
Would that have been too modern? Nah.
Maybe.
Postmodern, no. So, speaking of Star Trek Continues and all the hubbub that's been going on around, is episode 8 still on schedule for, what, September?
You mean 7?
Episode 7.
Episode 7. I apologize. Episode 7.
We have number issues.
Yeah. The 5th, the 7th, the 8th, the 7th. You know, numbers.
Yeah.
Math wasn't my strong suit.
No.
Episode 6 was released just over a month ago, at the end of May. Come Not Between the Dragons, which was directed by Julian Higgins, great director.
And you co-wrote that?
That episode was written by Greg Dykstra. Vic and I share a teleplay credit on it, but Greg Dykstra did the majority of it.
Greg Dykstra is the what's his official title?
He is a creature designer at Pixar. He did Finding Nemo and Incredibles and a ton of other films.
Oh, that's awesome.
I knew I recognized that name because you said that, and I'm like, I think that was a character designer. I think I had to study him in college.
Well, you may have, because he is an expert in his field, and
like,
he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And he basically he was a friend of the production. He had seen episodes of Star Trek Continues, contacted us, and said, "Hey, I'd like to come down and be involved in some way." And
guess who designed the creature?
He did.
In that. Yep.
Yeah. Imagine. Exactly. Yeah, and he actually played. He came down to watch the shooting of episode 4, at which point he had originally pitched the idea for episode 6 to Vic and I, and then he also starred as Dr. Heath in episode 5, Divided We Stand. So if you actually want to see him on screen, he plays the Union Doctor in episode 5, and then he wrote episode 6, designed the creature, was there for the entire production. And he's been a part of our family ever since. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. So episode 7 is being released at Salt Lake Comic-Con on September 3rd. And that is our next episode. And I directed and wrote that one along with Vic. And it's can't say a lot about it. It guest stars Claire Kramer, from Buffy. It guest stars Bo Billingsley from Star Trek Into Darkness. He played Abbott in Into Darkness, the captain of the Bradbury that Spock mm-hmm. was transferred to.
Oh, nice.
And it also guest stars Erin Gray, who is reprising her role as Commodore Gray from Leilani. So we've got a great set of guest stars in that episode. And like I said, September 3rd.
We'll be there.
I'm looking forward to it. I always look forward to the new releases of Star Trek Continues. It's been an amazing journey. And the production values are so well done. The acting's so well done. Sets, everything. It's beautiful work. And really Except appreciate you guys doing on that. What was that?
Yep.
Whoa.
What did you say? We didn't hear that, James.
I said, except that bitch who plays Smith.
No, it went over my head.
Glove. We like a burn counter over there. With a the robots are right there marking on the, and we got the burn counter right next to him.
You know, the Robin Hood men in tights, instead of like slapping him with like the, you know, the glove, he's slapping him with a like, gauntlet. Oh,
you
man.
Will come, James Kerwin. I vow it. Hello, my name is Kipley Brown. You insulted me. Time to die. That is a paraphrase, of course, from.
Moving from Men in Tights to Princess Bride. My words, it's what brings us here together to die.
Mowage. So, in answer to your question, episode 7 comes out September 3rd.
Excellent.
That is fantastic. So are you guys going to be appearing at any cons in the nearest future?
Like I said, episode 7 is premiering at Salt Lake Comic Con, and I think some of our actors are. I know Vic's going to be there. I'm not sure how many of our other people are going to be there, but I think maybe a couple of our other cast members might be at that con. And then after that, I know that Chris Doohan, our Scotty, is going to be at Star Trek Vegas.
I'm sort of hoping to be there. It's not confirmed yet, but I may be there. I'd love it, but we'll see.
Yeah, but James and Kipley, are you two specifically going to be at, not even those for Star Trek Continues or Star Trek, but just any in general, if people listen, might want to, you know, say hey if they're at the con near you.
Nothing planned on my schedule as of now.
Yeah, usually that happens maybe like 3 to 4 months before, so usually, I mean, we've been to Kamikaze for the past several years, and that's in October, we haven't, it's too soon to really nail that one kind of thing down, but.
Sure. Because I know, I know Guy's a big con goer, I know locally, I don't have all that many to go to locally, most of them are pretty far away, but I do try to go every now and then.
Vic is at cons all the time.
Yeah. Vic's even been to my con a couple of times, so.
Vic, when we had him on the show, he said he was going to be at Toronto Con right after, around that weekend in September, right after the 7th episode comes out, and he told me to come up there. And so I think it's Fan Expo in Toronto. So I was gonna.
Oh yeah. I think that's right. Yeah,
I will hopefully try to meet him then.
I want to say one other thing while we're here, which is that as of today when we're recording this podcast. The next expansion pack of Star Trek Online just came out, Agents of Yesterday or something like that. Basically, it is an expansion pack, if you guys are into Star Trek Online at all or any of your listeners are, that extends Star Trek Online back into the 22nd century as well as into the Kelvin timeline. And we have a lot of our people, Vic, Michelle Specht, and Chris Doohan, who are all starring in this new expansion pack. Kipley starred in the season that just came out in the fall as Kumarke.
Yes, Kumarke.
That's right. So, awesome. So she is in Star Trek Online, and now they're and Michelle has been in it since a few months back as one of the Nakul assassins, and now Vic and Chris Doohan are doing it as well. So
that's awesome.
That's cool.
Very awesome to have that crossover Star Trek stuff. I've only played a little bit of Star Trek Online. I played like the tutorial, and I was really impressed by how like they're at the San Francisco Bay. I'm like, oh, look, there's humpback whales out in the way. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But I haven't played a whole lot of it, though, unfortunately.
Well, you should.
I'm a bad Trekkie. I'm sorry. I only do a
podcast. I'm afraid to play it because I'm afraid I won't do anything but that. I
that's
that
actually
personality.
What.
I will That's not. What, I will not bathe or eat, and I will end up like they'll find a skeleton slumped over a computer.
I mean,
but it would have been an awesome amount of time that you had played in that. Yeah, that's my problem. I actually do play Star Trek Online, and I do have a character in there, representative of my Tamerlan comic strip. It's, you know, I play the captain of the Tamerlan, so. But yeah, it's the same thing. What? 4 days have passed? How did that happen?
Yeah, I used to play a lot of EverQuest and EverQuest 2 back in the day as far as MMO games, so I do know the addictive appeal of them, but I have not been able to hold down an MMO in years. I usually just play things I can let go of quicker.
Yeah, I love
it's like synthahol. Guys, it's like synthahol. It has intoxicating effects, but they can be dismissed by choice. It's
not for everybody. Yes. It can be an addiction, and I'm afraid of that because I am the type.
Except for this show. This show is safe for most ages.
It's safe for consumption.
It should be a habit-forming show, but it won't be a damaging one.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Depending on if you cringe at our jokes or not.
Intoxicating effects of your show can be diminished at will.
Just by hitting the stop button on your podcast player.
Yes. Don't do that, though. We don't recommend doing that. Members of Synthaholics do not recommend you hitting the stop player on your player thingy.
Not recommended by the Queen Kipley. Right.
No. But I do recommend you guys adopt a 12-step sort of program of some kind. For
listeners. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have to think about that. We've also came up with a limited drinking game. So if David mentions canon, take a drink.
Right.
If a guy mentions Tamerlan, take a drink.
Yep.
What's your deal with mentioning canon? I'm curious.
Aaron, one of my previous co-hosts, I just have a thing with canon. Like, basically, if it doesn't reference itself, then maybe it's not canon. So maybe
we can
get away from Threshold. You know, since Threshold's never mentioned ever again.
Oh, come on.
Or maybe Turnabout Intruder, because really women can't be starship captains. You know.
Hey, but Pike said the same thing in The Cage, so, you know.
He did, it's a double reference.
It's a double reference. But,
all that means is that at that time, they couldn't be. That's all it means.
But only a couple of years later, we had a, African-American female captain of the Saratoga.
Exactly. Yep. So what happened in between?
Well, and I sort of, it depends. You can get creative
Star Trek continues to happen in between.
Yeah, so you
figure it out, guys.
Say, it did.
You can
say
that
when they say starships, they're referring to the 13 starships of the fleet, and they just happen to be an all-boys club at this moment,
Right.
And it could be a complaint about hey, come on, why is it all guys running those ships? What's the story, So
exactly. The thing about canon is, this is the way I view canon. Canon is the story up to this point. That's all it is. I mean, people get all angry about it and stuff, and, canon isn't relevant, canon is relevant, canon is the story up till now. So it's your job as a writer to work within the story up till that point. And if there's something you don't like about it, fix it. Find a creative way around it.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of Threshold. I don't think the people who wrote Threshold are a fan of Threshold, but it happened. So, they're not, they've admitted that. So work around it. There's things in Star Trek V that don't make a lot of sense, but it happened. So figure out a creative way to work around it. It's the story up to that point is the story up to that point. So,
yeah.
And even Trek doesn't always follow its own canon. James R. Kirk from Where No Man Has Come.
Good question. Yeah. Why was there an R on the tombstone? Yeah. Why was there an R on the tombstone?
Even they were let's change that.
Yep.
Maybe that was just an alternate universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Where his dad's, where his dad, no, yeah, yeah, I know, it's just, yeah. It's fun. Like you said earlier, people on forums, get into debates, and as long as they're fun debates, they're fun, because you can kind of throw things back and forth and, debate it, but as soon as it becomes malicious, it's no longer fun, and it's not worth, not worth doing. But, and that's why I bring it up to have fun, and, Aaron would make fun of me, and I would make fun of him, and it's just, it's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
That's the thing that kind of bothers me with a fandom is whenever people are like, well, you're obviously not a fan. Well, really? I mean,
that infuriates me. That's one of the most things I cannot stand.
And you feel like you have to sit there and put out your pedigree. You know what I mean? You know, you can have, you feel like you have to defend it, and it's I hate that.
It shouldn't be a competition.
No, it shouldn't be.
It's like how to have people fight about something they agree on. It's so weird that they love Star Trek. You know.
Yeah, I love Star Trek, but do we love Star Trek?
I love it more. Yeah.
I love it more because I hate the JJ universe. That's why I love it so. What? What? You're not a fan if you like. Yeah, I hear that stuff all the time, and I have to be like, guys. If you like any version of Star Trek, you're a Star Trek fan. Doesn't matter if you like one episode.
Yeah. But you know the silver line, or this like just the positive spin on that, is that it indicates the power of the passion that drives people. Right. The Star Trek. I mean, this series, 3 years from the 60s, and it's a world now, and it keeps going. And so, of course, you know, the passion that drives people to want to see more and write about it is the same one that makes them want to suddenly defend it and own it. You know, it's the sort of the consequence of a lot of love. And people who, the fans of Star Trek tend to be pretty smart people.
For
and
sure.
smart people can think themselves into all kind of knots, you know.
Yeah, well, I do that all the time. But I mean, look at the podcast. I started out with this whole thing discussing the fact that we've got California people and Colorado people and New York people all involved here. I mean, we're literally thousands of miles apart, but we're all like buddies because of one thing. It's Star Trek, and we're happy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the California people are a little better because we're in California.
No, oh, Colorado people are just a hair better.
I'm just, in canon, they said they
come on, guys, let's live our own rules here.
Well, I'm not from New York. I just happen to reside here now. I was born in Missouri, St. Louis.
We are all from.
Whoa, wait, what?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri.
Where?
Do you have a friend?
I don't know.
Oh my! Oh wow!
I will ask my mother.
In St. Louis. Yeah.
I will ask my mother, and I will email you the place where I was born. Although I heard my mother told me that the building next to the hospital caught on fire right after I was born. So if that tells you anything about me,
no, that was me. I did that.
and my middle name is James.
Take you anywhere, James? You know, it's it's one of those things.
You guys just blew my mind, man. Before we take this up real quick, I just want to say you were talking about the Skype across America.
Yes.
You know, we sold, not sold, we don't, whatever, people could donate to Star Trek Continues and get Skype time with some of the characters. And I just had a Skype conversation with a guy in Poland.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow.
And he loves Star Trek, and we had no trouble communicating. Well, he spoke very, you know, good English, but parts where he was broken, it didn't matter. We could communicate through Star Trek. It's amazing.
It's a universal language.
And you know what he said? He said he's in the part, he remembers before the communist regime toppled.
Wow.
And they didn't have Star Trek then. And he said that he first saw The Next Generation when it started to be legal to play it there, and it changed his life. I mean, it just things like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's stories like that on the Trekkies 2 documentary, I think, where they go a little bit more internationally with it, and it's just amazing what Star Trek means to people and what it means to us, and why we even do this show. And you know, it's a beautiful thing, and you guys do this beautiful work on Star Trek Continues, and it's amazing, and your other projects too, other than RUR Genesis coming to maybe a feature-length film. What other projects do you guys have lined up currently that you'd like to talk about or plug or something?
Well, it's not really a project, but I have decided to pursue an additional career to acting, one that is also super easy to make a living at. is art. I've started making artwork, so I'm going to start putting it on my...
I feel for you.
Yeah, I know. It's like, why couldn't I get into being a lawyer? Right?
You know? I know.
Like, no, here,
or
here, here's another. I'm just going to rake it in, guys. No, but it's, you know, it's fine. I'm going to start putting out on Kipley.com. I have a couple of pieces there already.
Well, that's awesome.
Some of them are starting to gear towards science fiction. Imagine that.
Interesting.
That's so weird. Why would you do that?
I can't help it. I mean, not all of it. Just some.
Just some. Well, yeah. But yeah. That's, you know, we are who we are.
I'm kind of starting to get into that a little bit, too. I've been taunting or annoying Guy with my subpar art. I'm like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of this?
It's not subpar. You've been doing really good work. You've been, like,
do you have any online that have you shared it with anyone?
Mostly just Guy and mostly stuff I've done. I've got, like, one thing on a DeviantArt, and if you want, I can send it to you later.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, email me. I'll send you some of the things I've done. James has got my email. Well, how about you, James? Any other projects upcoming other than Star Trek Continues and the hopefully Are You Our Genesis that we'll see soon? I cannot wait for that, honestly. I am very excited to see this come to fruition.
Thank you so much. I mean, honestly, for the past 2.5 years, I've been devoting so much of my time to Star Trek Continues because I love it, because I want to. It's something that all of us come together and do on a volunteer basis, because it just means a lot to us. And so I kind of put RUR on the back burner for a little bit to work on this production. But I'm still, like I said, we're still working on the RUR script for a feature. And I have a couple other feature scripts in the pipeline as well. But right now I need to focus on my SDC work, to be honest with you. So
awesome.
That's what I'm doing.
And where can we find you guys on social media?
You can't.
Oh no!
Curses!
No! Don't go off the grid.
That there is some truth there.
There's truth. Yeah.
I'm kind of a hermit. Facebook overwhelms me. I have an account, but I don't. I'm too scared to look at it. We're working on that. I'm gonna have to go through therapy. But I am on Twitter. I tweet like once a year. Pretty cool. And at kickme.com. That's where you're gonna find out what my soul is made of, and ice cream.
Ice cream.
Kipley.com. That's where I am. I'm looking at the Kipley.com website even as we speak.
And you spell ooh, Kipley like this. K-I-P-L-E-I-G-H.
Dot
C-O-M. Yes, Kipley could be spelled many different ways. I'm proud of having a silent G in my name.
Well, royalty. I mean, that's what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you have royalty, you end up with all these extra letters.
Or Borg.
It's kind of a thing.
If you're James, you have the honorable before your name. He does actually have a distinction. James, tell them. He's so modest.
Oh, come on.
He was an award. I don't remember what the initials are. Tell us, James.
Really?
Yes, please.
Yeah. It was only a matter of time before she got back at you. You know that, right?
He should tell people. It's like the English order of
the thing is. I've always been fascinated with academics and with academia, and particularly with astrophysics. When I was in college, I actually started double majoring in film directing and astrophysics, but realized I would be in college till my mid-30s. So I decided just to kind of get out into the real world and start directing. But I do have a minor degree in astrophysics, and I've kept up with it ever since. And I speak at a lot of conferences and seminars and things like that. And I've kind of tried to stay up to date with as many intellectual honor societies as I can. Like Mensa and the Royal Society of the Arts, I participate in those
indoctrinated,
as well.
Which is a very difficult thing to
indoctrinated.
Have done. Well, it is. It's an honor. You should be proud. I'm proud of you. And you have to call him the Honorable James.
No, Brown. You don't have. No, you don't.
All right. Still
the Honorable James Kerwin. Thank you.
But
and our friend Rob Sawyer just got the Royal Order of Canada. He's the author of several amazing books, and he had a little walk-on role in one of our episodes of Star Trek Continues.
Episode 4.
Brilliant science fiction writer.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So kudos to him.
Awesome.
Well, I really wanted to thank you, Kipley and James, for coming on and joining us tonight. Thank you so very much. It's been amazing getting to talk with you guys this evening.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Letting me tag on.
Oh, you're very welcome. I was thrilled when he's like, hey, you want me to bring Kipley too? I'm like, yes. Yes.
You like support me? Yeah.
More Star Trek Continues people on my show at the same time? Yes, please. Thank you. Please and thank you.
And awesome Star Trek Continues people, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, okay, really. You know how there's the Borg M&M?
what would happen if the Borg queen mated with the queen from Alien? That would be awesome.
I'm sorry, if the Borg queen met with, you're echoing it slightly there.
Yes, I know. If the Borg queen mated with the queen alien from Aliens, you know, Ridley Scott's, although James Cameron. Yeah.
That would be, like, weird.
What the F? That would be the best monster ever.
It would be. It would be the Borg xenomorph.
That is who I am.
So would it spit out eggs and then a drone and then an egg and then a drone?
Would it alternate? Or would they just be droney eggs?
Or would it have two separate birthing orifices?
Ooh, you know, the
you went right there, didn't you? Yep, you did. You went right, yep. Okay.
I was thinking more along the lines of Borg face huggers. Just didn't seem like that was, you know.
Oh man! So it just fills your gullet with nanoprobes.
Yeah.
Oh man.
This just got awful. Really like gruesome quick.
But it's so cool. Well, I mean, come on, that'd be a great horror movie if it had a great plot. Yeah, of course, because you know.
Yeah,
that's true.
A lot of people forget that part.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry, I you were wrapping things up, and I attention deficited my way backwards.
No, no.
It's all good. We were having a lot of
fun. So you can find me on Twitter at...
Well, I was. You said 2 hours about 2 hours ago, so I was working on your time frame for you, so I didn't want to...
You should go, but I just had to get the...
No, it is awesome. The more you want to talk to us, the happier we are. That's fine with me.
I agree. And you know, it's David's the one that's going to be entering tomorrow first here, you know. All the rest of us go in succession after David. So I don't know what I was headed for there.
I don't even know. But you can find James.
M&M's and aliens.
it's like a thing. This is our theme for the show: is M&M's and aliens.
Food. M&M's and aliens. The Synthaholic story.
Yes. Synthaholic story.
This is the behind the scenes.
behind the podcast.
It's called Aliens of M&M's.
Yes.
M&M's, aliens, facehuggers, and Borg, and royalty.
There you go. Oh my.
Drunken ensigns, beware.
Anybody wearing even red piping needs to beware.
Well, thank you guys so much. You're awesome. And I love the name of your show as well.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. And if either of you would like to come back and just talk a single episode of Star Trek, like one of your favorite ones, we'd be more than happy to have you on just to do that. I'm supposed to have Michelle back on to talk about.
He slept through it. I don't know.
I can't think about it. It's the one with Lal.
The Offspring.
Offspring.
It's a great episode. Yeah. Oh gosh, I just realized. I'm sorry. I totally interrupted. You just asked about social media, and he was trying to tell.
No, that's why.
Well, the 30-minute gap between the first social media and the other social media.
Oh, my God. James, tell him your website and your Twitter and your Facebook and all that fun stuff. And I promise to be very, very quiet.
I've closed it all down. It's done. It's gone. No.
While we were just talking, James has left the internet.
I quit everything. James Kerwin.com or James Kerwin on Twitter or James Kerwin on Facebook. It's all the same.
So it's easy to find you.
W-I-N. Yeah. One word.
Branding. Yep. Good job on the branding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
You might want to spell the last name for just in case.
It's just Jameskerwin. One
perfect.
Word. Yeah.
Just you never know.
Yeah.
And mine is Kipley Brown.
Yeah, but you can check out StarTrekContinues.com, which is all the Star Trek Continues stuff we've done, every episode we've done, every vignette, every behind-the-scenes clip, the blooper reels, which are hilarious, bios of the cast and crew, and then RURfilm.com is the website of, obviously, the RUR film.
And I will there be linking, like, a direct video, like the Vimeo, I think it comes up pretty quick online for the video, so I will...
Yes, it does.
I will link all that, so you can check it out. It is great. If you haven't seen it, watch it. 6 minutes, and it's if you're listening to this podcast, this is probably about an hour and a half at this point. If you could listen to this, you can watch 6 minutes of RUR Genesis. It's amazing,
and it's a beautiful,
cool laser gun.
I love it. Yeah,
It's got a three barreled laser gun, and the lasers alternate barrels. It's awesome.
Yes, they do. You noticed.
Yes, I love film and stuff like that. So I try to notice things. I don't always, but I do my darndest.
The thing is that when you go, I mean, honestly, and I will wax poetic a little bit here at the end of the podcast. When you're doing what you're doing as a director, and you have certain projects that you want to do, and you're a writer as well, and you go through life saying, "I want to make these projects." It's a one in a million shot when you get to work with people who are important to you and who sync with you, and you just love them and you want to continue working with them. And Kipley is absolutely one of those people. And so is Chase Masterson, and so is Vic. And I mean, that there's a reason why I work with them time and time again on my projects, because I love them and they're amazing, amazing creative partners. And I wouldn't trade any of them for the world.
And
so,
and they're all amazing actors. And I've had Vic on before. Yep. I've yet to have Chase on, but I would love to at some point. But yeah,
well, you're not gonna. Great people.
Thank you. Thank James. You, James.
I am not going to smite you anymore. I won't smite you.
But it's
feel the same way. Awesome. I do.
Yeah, it's great to have people that you love that you work with.
You, yeah. It's just become very, I'm crying a little.
I love you, guy.
I love you guys, man.
I love you, too.
And I love everyone out there in listener land.
In Synthaholic land. Hopefully we're all drunk by this point. Woo. Yeah. It makes the show make so much more sense if you're drunk, guys.
But the effects can be easily dismissed, as Data said to Scotty, remember?
Exactly.
Not of this show. It will stay
right,
with you.
That's right.
It'll hopefully stay with you forever, and hopefully...
You're going to have flashbacks. This show's like LSD.
LSD-holics. Mm.
Well, now we have a new name.
And I would love to come back and discuss, has anyone had in-depth conversations about Measure of a Man? That seems like one.
We have not. We will reserve Let's Measure of a Man for you, Kipley. Your royalness.
Yes, we will bring you back for Measure of a Man. That's a good one to bring in too. So that would be a good one.
Her favorite Trek episode of all time.
That makes sense.
Sure. So we will reserve that. We will not talk about that episode with anybody else. And we will save that for you when you want to come back on, and we will do Measure of a Man.
Thank you. Well, that would be such an honor. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming on. It was amazing.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great having you guys aboard.
All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or at Warp 11 on Twitter. You can follow us online at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. On Twitter, we're at Synthaholic Duo. I'm at David_J_Duncan. Where can they find you, Guy?
You can find me at USSTamerlin.com. And now you can find me at Witches of Flame. And that's true branding all the way through. So on Facebook and Twitter, too.
You can come join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. Come and enjoy the fun. We post memes, funny things, the podcast episodes, of course, and whatever else. We both have a Patreon. So if you want to support Guy's art, you can find him at patreon.com/GSDavisArt. And if you want to support the podcast, you can find us at patreon.com/Synthaholics. If throwing a couple bucks our way isn't your thing, please just go on iTunes and write us a review and give us some stars. And that will boost us up on the ratings so that more people can find the show.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper.
50 million miles aside of Mars. Well, McCoy, my boy. Come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
So you're not recording, so I don't have to be nice anymore, right?
I'm still recording. We're just not...
Damn it!
Yeah, you're still on the record, Kipley. I'd be careful.
I record after the show so we can get bloopers.
Great. I'm doomed. It'd be funny if man, I just hauled off on like a tirade on you guys and they didn't know it was a joke. You just don't like, well, you are miserable. I can't believe your mother's let you live, and you know, just some crazy in it.
Well, that sounded very Klingon.
That was great. Yeah, this is a really good
Klingon there.
Oh, wait. Okay, hang on. Record this. God damn it, Kipling. What, those fuckers? Why were they asking us that shit, man? You know?
I don't know. Look, as far as I'm concerned, they're the lowest form of life. They are pretty much a sponge mold.
Yeah, but we got to do this shit, you know? I mean, we have to do it, so.
James, this isn't that. I thought you had something in mind, not some bizarre improv that sounds like we're trashing.
It was improv. It was improv.
Yeah, not good. I don't think that should go on there. It's got to be.
It was a joke.
Yeah. It's got to be like, today is a good day to die. They will see the river of blood engulf their hearts.
We're going to have some great after credit clips. This is going to be fantastic.
This is awesome.
My Klingon name is Chipwa.
See, people ask for beginning bumpers. We've got like professionals doing bloopers for us at the end. This is great.
I know.
You have been listening to Synthaholics.
Staged bloopers.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Synthahol, a warrior's drink.
Real quickly, before we start, are you guys go by James and Kipling, not by any kind of like on-screen names or anything like that?
No.
Okay, cool.
You can call me Your Majesty, though. I wouldn't object to that.
Okay.
Sure. Well noted.
Your Excellency will also work.
Excellent. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and hit the intro button, and we'll go ahead and get started.